You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After trading All-NBA shooting guard Victor Oladipo Wednesday afternoon, the Pacers continued their West Coast road trip in Portland on Thursday evening, a place they have not won in 14 years. The game started off pretty back and forth. The end of the first quarter, the game was tied at 26 apiece, but a dominant second quarter by the Pacers, led in part by the returning from maternity leave TJ McConnell, allowed the Pacers to extend to a 23-point lead in that quarter. McConnell finished the night with 8 assists and just 4 points, but his contributions cannot be underestimated. Pacers then held on to a lead throughout the second half as they pulled out the win 111-87. Malcolm Brogdon led the way with 25 points, while Domantas Sabonis put up a double-double for the 12th time this season with 23 points and 15 rebounds. And for the Trailblazers, they were led by, obviously, their two stars, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who were held in check at 22 points each, and both shot below 50% from the field. The Pacers improved to 8-4 and continue to climb the Eastern Conference ladder. They sit as the 4 seed right now, while tied for the 3 seed, half a game back of Philadelphia and Boston. The West Coast road trip continues Sunday in LA, where the Pacers will look to continue to build on that record. Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, on the coast of this wonderful show. And on today's podcast, a pretty easy, simple one, as I have said. It is a post-game recap of the Pacers' win against the Trailblazers. A really solid win for this team, considering everything, right? So, you had the excuse for the trade, so that was kind of distracting yesterday for the team. You had the excuse that they were playing their third game in 4 nights. They were playing against Portland, who's a really good team, who I thought on paper was pretty evenly matched to the Pacers in the sense. Now, obviously, you had Yusuf Nurkić, who got hurt in this game, and that helped tilt the favor in the Pacers' way a little bit. But still, Portland just had the two best players, right? Arguably, they have the best two players on the court, and they were playing McCollum and Lillard pretty much at all moments when one was on the court. So that sort of gives them the advantage. But the Pacers really just kind of dominated this game. There was a quick moment where things got a little tight, but they really, from the second quarter on, just sort of had this in control. It was good to see. They played their bench a lot. They went deep. They ended up, I think, playing 10 guys by the end of the night. Obviously, two of those guys were playing in garbage time, kind of. But they went 9 deep, playing 9 guys 10 or more minutes, which was really impressive. And so after I talk about that, the game and the Pacers win, and break down some of the good, the bad, and the ugly from it, I'm going to give my second round of thoughts on Caris LeVert and that Victor Oladipo trade. I've had now a day to sit on it and think about it, so I've got a few more thoughts from our yesterday emergency podcast, which you have not listened to. You should go check that out, because that was kind of our, Tony and I, at least, initial reaction to this, to the move that caught us all off guard, frankly. I think that's, you could pretty obvious in our, by that podcast and the way we sounded, we were definitely caught off guard by Vic being traded only 10 games at that point into the season. So let's get to it. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Pacers' win against the Trailblazers. As with any win, there's a lot more good than bad or ugly. The good starts with, I think, with Domantas Sabonis. Continues to have an All-NBA season, I think is the right way to put it, right? 23 points, like I said, and 15 rebounds on 10 of 18 shooting. He had 5 assists to go with it. He is continuing to be a unstoppable force around the rim at times, especially when Nurkić got hurt. There really was not a matchup for him on this Blazers team, and he is kind of in a league of his own down there. I mean, I'm sure there are some centers like throwing the Goberts, the Embiids, but I mean, maybe Anthony Davis can play that kind of defense on him. That might be it. I mean, he plays enough minutes where he gets to play with bench against bench centers, which he just exploits day in and day out. I mean, you saw it tonight even against Cantor a little bit. And then teams that play small, he just continues to beat up on. I mean, he is a matchup nightmare down there for teams. And what he's gotten really good at is recognizing the double team, which he had tonight, and kicking the pass out. He had a couple of bad passes at the start, but only had 3 turnovers, which I think is pretty good for him. Usually has about a 2-to-1 turnover ratio, which is about what he had tonight. But he isn't necessarily constantly worried about scoring, right? He wants to put up stats, I guess I would put it, but he's not constantly worried about he has to score 30 points. He understands that if he gets in the post and there's 3 guys around him or 2 guys and some guy playing help, he kicks it out, have the swing around, and the way the rest of the team is shooting from 3, he's better off, right? I mean, it's better off for the team, and you can tell that Bjorkman has kind of beat that into his head in some way of like, don't worry about passing out of the post, right? If you don't have the shot, don't force it, and then you get the ball back. And he's getting his shots, right? He's, you know, basically 18 shots per game. I think he's a little slightly under that for averages. I think he's more like 16, but he's getting his shots and he's shooting well. And really, look across the team, right? So you got Brogdon, who's shooting like a ridiculous 40%+ from three, 45%+. Justin Holiday shooting 42%. McDermott 38%. Even Aaron Holiday, who hasn't been great, has shot better of late. And Turner is slowly getting better too from three. So there's enough shooting around him where he just kick it out and let let it go. And you don't have to worry about the fact that like they need to get the points, right? They have enough offense, I guess. The offense is not the Pacers' problem. In the league right now, they rank 11th in offensive rating, and that was at one point I think up to like fifth. Until the past couple of games, they've kind of slowed down a little bit. But you see that pick up in the defense, and that's where I think I should want to go next with some of the good. And that's a player who probably didn't really have like a great statistical night. Although you can make a case he had an okay night. Evan Sumner and Brogdon's defense, the combination of the two, having to be on the court. Sumner basically has played, started two games now, guarding Steph Curry in one of them and then guarding Damian Lillard in the other. And, you know, he got beat at times, right? He wasn't perfect, but holding Damian Lillard and McCollum to 22 points apiece and is a win, right? Those guys are 27 points a game type of players. McCollum, I think he may have been closer to 30 this year at times. Those guys are just been dominant. I mean, they have been... They're probably the best guard combo, at least offensively in the NBA, and they have been so good this year so far, and a big reason Portland got off to a really good start this year at 7-4. And Sumner did a decent job, right? He might got beat a little bit here or there, but he did a nice job forcing Lillard into tough shots. And if he makes them, he makes them, but that's what he did. I mean, the fact that they combined for only 6 threes on 6 of 15, I mean, that's maybe, I think you get like a, I think that's 40% from three, but like that's about the average of them, maybe a little slightly, but that's how you keep this team in check, right? When you keep them from shooting a ton of threes and they got like a ridiculously high percentage. And Brogdon had a really good defense all night on McCollum. And I think you got to throw in TJ McConnell a little bit in there too. He did a nice job guarding those guys, and they threw a lot of different bodies at the two guards, but Sumner got the task to start the game and he played 20 minutes. He didn't end up playing a ton in the second half. I think he played a little bit in the third, but didn't really play much in the fourth. But still really good for a guy who, 4 games ago was like getting DNP CDs basically, right? He wasn't really going to play. And now he's playing, you know, he's earning himself minutes, put it that way. And I don't know if he's going to be like, once everybody's healthy, how it shakes out, but he's earning himself an opportunity to play 10 minutes a game at minimum, if not more, right? He was 3 of 8 in the field. You know, he has enough offense here or there. So I just think it's worth shouting out Evan Sumner for his performance tonight. Other guys I'm kind of looking down. I mean, I talked about McConnell for a minute, but McConnell... returning from, I think he's been out for 3 straight games, right? He missed Saturdays against the Suns and then the back-to-back to start the West Coast road trip with a new father, right? Just had a kid, so congrats to him. But he came ready to play, right? Did his McConnell things, had 3 steals, 8 assists, had a couple of those, inbounds pass steals, and just high energy and was the guy they needed, right? The Pacers, I think... have struggled the past 3 games, I think. They lost 2, and then they struggled because they haven't really had that, like, bench point guard, right? Aaron Holiday filled that role really nicely Tuesday against Golden State. That's why they won, right? I think Holiday had 12 assists. But previous to that, they've really missed that, like, just distributor, calming presence at like, kind of that point guard spot off the bench, somebody who can really find McDermott in the right spots and things like that and get the ball to Sabonis on the pick and roll and whatnot. And... they haven't had that, and having him back kind of just brings that steadying presence. And you add that to the fact they lost Vic, right? So they probably won't get LeVert for, let's say, at least the rest of the weekend. So they're already down a guy from, you know, who they didn't really expect to be down before, you know, Wednesday. So just getting McConnell back kind of brings a little bit of energy back. He's high energy, keeps the team kind of going. And he was a really nice plus 21. And you saw for McDermott, him, Holiday, and Sabonis all benefited from his return, right? You know, Aaron Holiday ended up going 3 of 6 on the night. McDermott, not the greatest shooting night, but all of them were like, let's see, you got Aaron Holiday plus 22, Durant plus 24, and Cornet Sabonis plus 17. So they all benefit from McConnell's return greatly, in my opinion. Brogdon had another nice night, continuing to put up a all-star level season and make a case that he is, you know, top 30-ish in the league, right? He's averaging at this point 22.5 points, 7.5 assists, and 4 rebounds per game. He had a nice night at 25 points on 10 of 18 shooting with 7 assists. Yeah, I mean, he is Mr. Reliable, 3 of 6 from three. I mean, he's just shooting really well, and he played a little less minutes than normal. Played 35 minutes tonight. They finally give him a little bit of a breather. I'd like to see that come down maybe to 32 minutes per game. Maybe with LeVert in, that will help. But, no, just a solid night for Brogdon. Really good night for the Pacers. This is a good win. This Portland team is a good basketball team, right? I mean, they've just been good this year. This is a good win on the road, West Coast. Now they got two West Coast road trip wins. And because they don't have to play Saturday because of some COVID-19 protocols with the Suns and not having enough players, they basically get what, 3 days off now between now and Sunday's game as the Clippers, and they can pull that upset off. They'll have gone 3-1 on this trip, and that's a massive success. I mean, two wins is a super success, but winning three games, it will be a massive success. They go back home 9-4. Schedule lightens up a little bit too, right? So, they play the Clippers on Sunday at 9, another brutally night game. But luckily it's the weekend. But then they play Dallas, Orlando, Toronto twice. Toronto's looked pretty bad. Charlotte twice. You know, they have a real chance here if they can beat the Clippers. They can maybe win, let's say, 5 of the next 6 games, 4 of the next 6. And they can be looking at a team that's like 13-6 coming out of the month, maybe even a little better than that. So this is turning into a decent kind of stretch for the Pacers, right? You know, they started off really well. They got off to a 4-1 start, and they've kind of been up and down, right? They had a couple of good games. You know, they were lucky to beat New Orleans, frankly. And then lost a pretty bad game to Phoenix and a pretty bad game to the Kings. And not like bad, since they like played terrible, but like games they could have won if they just played slightly better. But so to end the month, you know, at let's say a 13-6 and be on pace to win, if I do the math, that'd be, you know, times 3.5 to, or times, sorry, at 13-6 it'd be times, there'd be, they could win, you know, 45 games this year, which would be a pretty good number considering how many less games there are, right? So it's looking pretty good in my opinion. They seem like they are moving in a really good direction. Chemistry seems to be good there. So, and I'm excited to see what happens when they add Caris LeVert, right? They add a player who is putting up 18 points per game and, you know, can play back-to-backs and is young and kind of fits their timeline. So I think it's exciting to see when he comes into the fold, which maybe will be next week sometime once the trade actually finalizes. So that's what I want to talk about next. Caris LeVert and my thoughts, or my continued thoughts, on the trade the Pacers made for him, sending Victor Oladipo to the Houston Rockets. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. Well, we are in the heart of the NFL playoffs. You've got NBA games every day, and betonline.ag is the place to place those bets because they have you covered and they are a place that you can trust. They have great lines. You know, I've been typing up some of the Pacer lines every night. They don't have that far in advance, so we don't know Sunday's line, but you get the NFL this weekend, games you can bet on, obviously. I get my NFL picks this weekend. Please don't hold me to them, but I'm going to say the Packers win. I think I would pick the Saints to win. I think I'm going to pick the Ravens to win and then the Chiefs. So those are my 4 wins. If you can bet the money line on all 4 at a 4-team parlay, let me know what the odds are. It might be worth it. And right now, you go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You can get a 50% welcome bonus. That means they'll match 50% of your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. So round 2 thoughts on the Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo trade. So I said this yesterday, and I'm going to make it clear. You have to take the assumption that they made this move because Vic was leaving. So on that assumption, this is a fantastic trade, right? They have basically taken a guy who would be a zero asset, right, in a year from now, to a player who is on a contract, locked in for 3 years, tradable, for sure, and a guy who puts up similar stats to Vic and probably fits their timeline and their chemistry slightly better than Vic does. I think LeVert immediately becomes a starter. I know there's been some talk to become a 6-man or whatnot. Now, he might start on the bench for a couple games, but I think with time, he immediately gets in the starting lineup. They just don't have the depth right now. I guess if you get Jeremy Lamb back and whatever, but like you want Justin Holiday on the bench. I mean, he fits well with that bench unit. You want to kind of get this team back to where they were at that point last year, right? And obviously worn out makes things a little different too, but I mean, I think the simple thing right now is if Lamb returns and they have LeVert, that's their starting 5 filled in with worn out, and they go to the normal bench of McConnell, McDermott, Holiday, and then they can maybe have Sumner a little bit, go a little bit here or there. You know, I think points-wise, right, he had, like, so Vic this year, for example, is averaging 20 points on 42% from the field and 36 from three. LeVert is averaging 18 points on 43% shooting and 35% from three. So almost identical stats. Vic is taking seven threes a game, LeVert five, but overall they're both taking 16 to 17 shots per game. And to be honest, I think you can make a case Vic was taking too many threes this year, right? It seemed like at times that he was, like, just shying away from going to the rim and taking threes. And what makes the Pacers' offense so good, frankly, is not necessarily guys just pulling up from three, although you see Barton do it occasionally and whatnot, but is the drive and kick game, the pick and roll game with Sabonis, stuff like that. That's where LeVert will have a lot of effect early on, right? We'll see how, rolling with Sabonis basically at the rim or driving and kicking out, right? LeVert puts up six assists, which is a pretty good number, matching Vic, who has, 4.2, so even a little more willing to pass out, right? So the Pacers' offense works really well because guys, when they get double teamed, are willing to kick it out and kind of have that shoot around and that kind of around the horn three, let's say. Well, LeVert will fit right into that and hopefully shoot a little better than he's shooting currently, which if he shoots, even when he's shooting currently, it's basically the same as Vic, so he'll get threes that way. But he can drive to the rim and score around there, right? So I've always made it a big deal. I've already talked about how the reason Vic was so dominant 3 years ago is because his around the rim shooting was amazing, right? He was shooting, I think, 69% inside 3 feet, which for a guard is like otherworldly. So yeah, let me look it up real fast. He was, yep, 17-18, he shot 69% inside 3 feet. Vic is currently shooting 54% this season. Even, the year after his peak year, he was shooting 60%. So just that's a good number, right? Well, Caris LeVert is shooting 66% this year inside 3 feet. That's really good. Now he plays with guys like Kevin Durant and Kyrie when he was out there, who would definitely help, basically give him one-on-one a lot of times, and they can draw. Jared Allen's been really good this year, so the team he played has been pretty good. So we should say his stats are with a really good team, but I think the Pacers have a similar talent level in the sense from 1 to 9, right? I think Brooklyn by far is top heavy. 1-2, definitely better. But when you go 1 through 9, it kind of evens out with the Pacers a little bit. But yeah, LeVert shooting really well around the rim. He's taking about a quarter of his shots around the rim during Vic's best season. Let's see, he took about a little over a quarter of his shots around the rim. So I think that's something to watch. If LeVert's going to be this good around the rim and can do that, that'll be really good for the Pacers. That will even actually probably improve their efficiency ever so slightly. The other thing is free throws per game, right? LeVert is not a huge free throw shooter, which is one of the other downs to the guys. Because Vic this year is averaging about 4 free throws per game. At his best, it was 5. LeVert is averaging just about 3. Averaged 4 last year, 4.5 last year. So hopefully he can get a few more fouls when out around the rim, and he can improve on that. But I do think just stat-wise and style-wise, he fits actually a little better than Vic and can pretty much produce the same production. That's all the Pacers need, frankly, right now, right? Vic had already taken a backseat role. It was pretty obvious when he returned that he was no longer the star of this team. He was getting there. I think the thing about Vic that we've kind of said is he looks athletically there, but something's off. And he's always going to be chasing that, can he return the All-NBA form? And he might get there. I would not be surprised if Vic has a really, really nice run with Houston, takes a ton of shots, scores 25 a game or something insane like that. But he just isn't quite there, and I don't think he's going to be worth the money. I think he's going to leave anyways. So getting Caris LeVert, a guy who can pretty much do similar production to him right now, is really solid return. On top of that, LeVert's still pretty young. He will fit right into the timelines of Sabonis, of Turner, of Brogdon, and maybe he can get slightly better, right? If he can prove, if LeVert can become just a slightly better three-point shooter or get a little more contact and become a slightly better have a slightly higher free throw attempts per game. We're looking at a guy who may become a 20-point-a-game scorer, right? The Pacers will have a lot of offense. I don't think Warren will be back this year. Maybe late this year if we're lucky, just because it's a foot injury. They just take a while, and you want to take your time with those. But he should fit next to Warren okay, and it will be good for this team, I think. I think overall from 1 to really 8 or 9, they'll have a lot of depth, right? And that will be how they have a shot at beating better teams, right? They will never have probably the best guy on the court, although Sabonis is continuing to improve. So, he could work his way into being a Jokic-level player someday, and I wouldn't be completely surprised by that. And Brogdon is also pretty solid. But most likely, the best player will be a Giannis or a Kevin Durant or an Embiid. But what they could have is the next, maybe not the second best player, but maybe the next eight players, right? They could have the eighth or the third to ninth best player in this series, right? And they could beat you at their depth. But to figure out the clutch play, the closing of games, you know, Brogdon's a pretty good clutch player. He's willing to take the shots. Sabonis has made a clutch play this year too. Both of them have. So hopefully that they can figure that out, kind of the end of game situation, who is the guy taking big shots for them. But overall, I'm just not that, you know, I think the LeVert trade makes a lot of sense on the assumption that Vic was going to leave anyways, which I think he was. And so you needed to recoup some value for him. And this was the best value you could get. I mean, I don't think there's a better player you can get straight up for Vic, right? There were some thoughts, right, you could package Vic with another player. But at this point, the way Turner's a bonus look, I wouldn't want to trade either of them. Turner's been all defensive player of the year level. Or all, you know, first team all defense and defensive player of the year level. Sabonis has been an all NBA player this year, offensively at least, and you know, definitely going to be an all star at this rate. So I wouldn't want to get rid of either of them. And so then you're looking at like, well, then who else would you trade, right? So you trade McDermott, who's really a critical part of this team right now. You know, maybe what if you could get the right guy, but probably not. I mean, you know, they weren't getting a Bradley Beal for Victor Oladipo and whatever. So like, this is a really good return, and a really bad situation, and the Pacers continue to do that, right? So they've taken that, you know, I know Paul George has been flipped into like 17 first round picks at Oklahoma City, and we'll see if any of those turn out to be good picks, but like realistically the Pacers turned a player who was going to leave 3 years ago into an all-star all-NBA player in Sabonis and then Caris LeVert, which is a pretty good return, right? And at one point, you know, if we had 17-18 Vic, of course you wouldn't trade Vic, but like, they don't have that level of Vic right now, so you just have to take what you have. Considering where Vic was, getting a player who have equal value, younger, who has a injury history, but not the brutal injury history that Vic has, or recent injury history Vic has. So it just makes sense. I'm for it. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some bumpy roads here or there. You know, it won't be perfect to start the season, but I'm confident over time we'll see that this was a good move for the Pacers, and it continued to keep the Pacers relevant and good. And, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years, we're talking about how this team is super deep and LeVert has improved just enough, and so is Brogdon and Sabonis, and this team is competing, you know, in an Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But I do think making the best of a bad situation has been Pritchard's, like, entire tenure of the Pacers, and he continues to pull moves out of his ass, frankly, and do a pretty decent job of it, right? I mean, he has yet, in my opinion, to make, like, some lethally stupid move, right? I mean, he, like I said, he went, you know, free agency-wise, he signed Bojan and he signed Darren Collison, who really helped kind of take this team to just a competent level for a couple of years and helped really blossom Vic. Then he did a nice job switching coaches, right? He at one point, you know, I think I was worried he's going to stick Millen too long. He just pulled it, you know, at one said, you know, we have to move on, did it, and hired a pretty good coach, I think, in Bjorkgren, right? He's made free agency actions every single offseason that have been pretty decent. Even when he made, let's say, his worst one, which is the Tyreke Evans move, it was not long-term crippling. It was one season, so it wasn't like he was hurting his cap space for the future. And he then went out for agency and made a move for TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb and Doug McDermott, all have been success, Justin Holiday. I mean, he continues to add good players to this team and continues to keep them, make decent draft picks. I think Leaf is maybe the one bad pick. I'm not even sure that's him. I think that might have been Larry Bird's last pick. But Aaron Hall is a good pick. Gogo, we're still out on. We'll see. But, like, continues to just make good moves over and over again. And I think he's credit for that, right? He's not, you know, he hasn't pulled off the blockbuster crazy trade, but the Pacers have remained relevant, and he keeps them good and gets them better every year with just subtle little tweaks to the roster. And that, on its own, deserves a little credit. So shout out to Kevin Pritchard once again. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at FreemanM5, our podcast at Locked On Pacers, and my co-host Tony East at TEastMBA. It is Friday, which means we will not have another show the rest of the week. But check back Monday for our weekly show. See you guys then.